Let's enter in. Let's lift our hearts and hands. Let's enter in. Would you cry aloud? He's holy. He's holy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we praise you. Holy, 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 holy. Spirit of God, Spirit of God, Spirit of God, have your way. Holy, holy, holy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 18. Good to see the Alexanders back from their trip. Good to have them back. Praise the Lord. Sunday morning, we've been involved in Jesus' teaching about his kingdom and what kind of people we, the people of his kingdom, ought to be. Amen. Or are privileged to be, honored to be. And by his grace, we can be. Matthew 18, and I want to encourage you to keep your Bibles open, but if you would stand, we'll read our text this morning. Beginning with verse 21. Then came Peter to Jesus, him, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, These are good words. Would you read this last part of the verse with me? Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told it unto the Lord and all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. It's all put together in this last verse. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. I want to minister from Christ's parable. 7 times 70 forgiveness. Let's pray together. Father, make your word a living thing this morning. Lord, you know our hearts and you're here to help us. Lord, I appreciate the sense of your eternal spirit in the house. And oh God, do an eternal work. Liberate someone, Lord, from the burden of bitterness this morning. Lord, liberate someone. Give them the freedom to forgive. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Years ago, a man was bitten by a rabid dog, and this was before they had a cure for rabies. And they took the man to the hospital. The doctor came in to examine him, and he said, I hate to tell you this. We've confirmed the animal does have rabies, so now you have rabies, and there's no cure. We can't do anything for you. I would suggest the only thing I can tell you is we're going to make you comfortable and you set your house in order. This is fatal. You're going to die. put the man in the hospital room, put him in bed, and he lay there and sulked. He was so upset by the news and lay there just in his discouragement for a long period of time. And then suddenly he grabbed a piece of paper and he grabbed a pen and he began to write frantically. Not long after that, as the man was writing, the doctor was making his rounds and happened to pass the man's room and looked in and saw him writing, filling pages up. The doctor went in and said, "Oh, great, I see you took my counsel and you're setting your house in order and you're writing your will." The man looked up from the bed and said, "Will? I'm not writing my will. I'm making a list of everybody I want to bite before I die." I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you have a list? Do you have a list? Who's on your list? Who are those that you have never forgiven? Who are those that you're still angry with? Who is it that every time something about them is mentioned, this bitterness wells up, this anger comes up in your heart? Is it a biological family member? Is it a cousin, a brother, a sister, a parent, a child? Is it a brother or sister, a church? Is it a co-worker? Is it a boss? Is it a neighbor? Do you have a list? Who's on your list? I tell you, one of the hardest things for we humans to do is to forgive those that have hurt us, injured us, done us wrong. But I also want to follow that to say one of the most damaging things to a human, one of the most damaging things to the human spirit is to not forgive those that have hurt us. Amen? You know, we read this parable here, and as I read it and began to study it, and as we've been in this series, and especially this parable, I asked the question again, are we really going to receive what Jesus taught us? You see, the truth of the matter, it isn't that Jesus just likes to make things hard on us. He just wants to make us jump through some hoops. It's not that at all. It's the fact that Jesus knows if we will follow His teaching, it will set us free. If we will follow His teaching, it's the best thing that could ever happen to us. And so the lesson in this parable is to forgive. I want to tell you this morning, the people of the kingdom should be forgivers. If you're born again this morning, it ought to be your nature to be a forgiver. Be a forgiver. What if just one time, God didn't forgive you and I when we ask Him? Have you ever thought about that? I ain't going to forgive them. What if just one time God refused to forgive us? But thanking God that He has forgiven us, being grateful to God that He has forgiven us, we can forgive those that have done wrong to us. What's going on here? We got to go back to verse 15. Jesus is teaching, and He said, "If thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." Jesus is dealing with how people in His kingdom should respond to those that injure them, hurt them. You see, we got this old word here, trespass against thee, but that literally means your brother has injured you. Your brother has offended you. Your brother has hurt you. Amen. Over and over as pastor, and I'm not discouraging this. It should be this way. But over and over as pastor, I have folks come to me and say, so-and-so said this about me, or so-and-so did this to me, or so-and-so has hurt me. And the best thing I can tell them, I'm glad they confide in me. I'm glad I have their confidence, and they ought to have that relationship with the pastor. But the best advice I can give them is the counsel of Jesus. If somebody has hurt you, if someone has offended you, amen, go to that person. Sit down with them and talk about it. Amen. Why? Not just to vent, not just to let your anger out, because if you're honest with one another, if you share how you've been offended, if you listen to the explanation, Jesus said many times you would get up from that place having forgiven one another and be reconciled and be at one with one another, and you have gained your brother. Amen. If you just talk about it, amen. I don't have time to dwell here, but we just need to practice what Jesus teaches. Amen. And again, it's not in a vacuum. It's not hypothetical. It happens all the time. A young person comes, or an older person comes, a brother comes and say, oh, I've been hurt by the... Go to them. Have you talked to them? Have you been to them? No. Well, let's just follow what Jesus said the people of the kingdom ought to be. And you go to them with the grace of God in your heart. And you go to them in obedience of God's word, and see what God won't do as you follow his principle. Well, he doesn't listen to me. Well, verse 16. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word should be established. We're not talking about court here. You're talking about a second attempt, and this time you take someone with you. It ought to be someone of esteem, someone that's invested in both of your lives, someone, an elder, some of these brothers. Amen. You go to that person again and you take witnesses with you. Why? So they can see you're trying to work it out. So they can work through the matter and hear the story and ascertain what's really going on and have that impartial, amen, witness there to bring it all together. But now sometimes the brother or sister still doesn't want to reconcile. What should you do? Verse 17. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. They don't listen to you when you go with the elders, so you take it to the authority of the church and let the church deal with the matter. Amen. We don't have time to go into all that. We're just talking about what Jesus said. But then Jesus said, and here's what I want you to get a hold of this morning. Get a grip. I've missed it for all these years. Amen. Quoting this scripture and reading this scripture and preaching from and using it as a principle for church discipline. I missed it all these years. It said, if he won't hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. I looked at that and said, to say this, if he won't hear the church, he won't hear the elders, he won't reconcile unto you, he's no longer a brother. That's true. Because if he were truly a brother, if he truly were a sister, she were a sister, amen, if they were truly born again, they would have forgiven. They would have worked it out. But the fact that they will not forgive, they will not work it out, is evidence they're not really born again. Here's the thing I missed. He said, if they don't listen, let them be unto you as a heathen man and a publican. I looked at that as you excommunicate them, anathema, get them out of there, you know, make the sign of the cross, wash your hands from them, have nothing to do them with them. But then here's what got a hold of me. Yes, you treat them like they're no longer a brother, because they're not. But how do we as the church treat heathen people that aren't saved? Do we just try to push them away? Do we try to just keep them away? What do we do for heathen people that aren't saved? We pray for them. We're moved with compassion, with the burden that they might be saved. Amen. Your brother hasn't done you right. He hasn't listened to the church. In fact, he's no longer really a brother. But you don't just mark him off, wash your hands of him. Get down to praying for him like he's a lost individual. Have compassion on him. Amen. This is the teaching of Christ. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. And so this is what's going on. Now Jesus is taking that and dealing with how do you personally handle the hurt done to you and treat someone that's hurt you. Ask yourself that question this morning. How do you treat, as a Christian, as a believer, how do you treat someone that has done you wrong and injured you? How do you treat them? Look at verse 21. Then Peter thinks he knows. Peter thinks he gets it. Peter came to Jesus and he said unto him, how oft shall my brother offend me, sin against me, and I forgive him? You can see him putting a halo on. Until seven times? You know, Peter really thought he was going to impress Jesus. Have you ever thought you were going to impress Jesus? Oh, Lord, my brother hurts me. Yes, he does. But shall I forgive him seven times? That's going to impress Jesus. Amen. Peter thought he was being extremely spiritual and generous and magnanimous to suggest that if someone hurt him, that as a child of the kingdom, he'd forgive seven times. Now, here's why Peter thought he was going to press Jesus. Because here's what the Jews taught. Your brother offends you once, forgiving. Your brother offends you twice, forgiving. Your brother offends you three times, forgive him. But if he offends you the fourth time, don't forgive him. That's the teaching Peter grew up. So Peter was being very generous. He doubled it from three to six times and added one. Amen. Peter was being very generous. And so he felt for sure that was going to impress our Lord. This oddly reminded me of time. We were together with Bill and Claire Norvell and some mutual friends from Bible school days. And how many knows Brother Bill's into coins? He knows all about coins, everything there is to know. Clear back to the wooden nickel. He knows all of that. And we were sitting around, a bunch of us, and this mutual friend's house that was over, he went out and got some. He came in, he could already see the glow on his face. Well, I've got something here. And he had taken years, but he had this, you know, this matting, this little book of matting, place to put all these supposedly desired pennies through the decades. And he had all those pennies in place. And with just real pride, you know, of what he had, he handed that to Brother Bill, because Brother Bill assesses coin collections. And Brother Bill opened that up. And Brother Bill's not watching the other guy's face, but the rest of us are. And Brother Bill goes, well, this one might be worth 2 cents. And if you found a real good buyer, you might get 9 cents out of this. And the one that's worth the most is this one's right here. You get a dollar and a half out of it. And as we watched that guy's face, it just fell. And Brother Bill wasn't being mean. He's just being honest. The guy's face just fell. Of course, the rest of us just laughed at him. You know, we're friends. That's what friends do. He really thought he had something till he brought it to the one that knew how to assess it. And Peter thought he really was being magnanimous. I mean, he really had the right attitude. He really had the right, I'll forgive him seven times. But by the time Jesus got through, I think his face fell like that other guy's. And Peter realized he really didn't have as much as he thought he had. Have you ever been there? I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm just telling you, we can have what he wants us to have. That's what the teaching is all about. But in verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, there's a little problem with this because there's no words in between in the original, so it can mean 70 plus 7, or it can mean 70 times 7, or some say it can mean 70 to the 7th power. We'll leave that to the math whizzes and all of that. But I personally don't think that's what Jesus is saying at all. I don't think he's setting a cap on this thing. What is 7 in the Bible? It is the perfect number. It is the complete number. And I think what Jesus was saying is, whatever the perfect number of times to forgive is, times that by 7, and you should still be forgiving your brother. I'll tell you what the perfect times to forgive is. It's the number of times God forgives us. Take that and multiply it by 70. Now, I'll tell you, here's the tough thing. We can forgive our brothers the big things they do us, and even the heinous crimes they do against us. I'll tell you what's hard is forgiving them for the same old thing over and over and over and over again. 70 times 7. Have you ever gotten reading the Bible and say, well, I don't know if I'm going to be a Christian after all? I'm speaking tongue in cheek here. I mean, here's Peter makes an offer of 7 times, and Jesus counters with this 70 times 7. So this is what's going on. What is the earthly illustration? We'll move through this quickly. We'll bring it together in the end and let God speak to us. But in verse 23, Jesus said, let me give you an illustration here. There's a certain king. He's going to take account of his servants. Verse 24, he began to reckon. There was brought to him one that owed him 10,000 talents. You can play games with finding the equivalent of our currency and all that. But let me just give you in a ballpark figure. That would be like $20 million today. $20 million. This servant owed the king $20 million. Verse 25. But insomuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. This man has a huge problem. He's not only in debt, he's bankrupt. I'm telling you, that's the way we were when we came to Christ. We were not only in debt, we were bankrupt. He had nothing to pay. And by the provision of the law of that time, then they could take him and his wife and his children, put them on the auction block at the slave market, and sell them and apply the money they got out by selling him a slave, apply that to the debt. But here's the point of the story. Amen. Look at verse 26. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. The man pled for an extension of the loan. He pled for a second chance. And his plea was, have passion with me. Patience with me. The word patience literally means be long-suffering with me. Have mercy upon me. Amen. Have patience with me. Amen. The man should have known it, and the king did know it, that even selling them for slaves, even giving them the man an extension on his debt, this man was never going to have enough money to pay what he owed. He was never going to have enough money. Amen. The man should have known that. And I want you to know, we come to the point that we need to know, amen, that we never could have enough to pay for the debt of our sins. Amen. We could get everything, give everything we have, and we would still fall short of paying the debt of our sin. But that does not mean we don't have the attitude. We'd like to pay. We know we ought to pay, and we're trying to pay. And therefore we say, oh God, have mercy on me and for me. I can't pay, but I realize I'm in debt. Oh, what an attitude to have. Now look at verse 27. Let's look how the king responded. The Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. What did this Lord do? Number one, the king was moved with compassion. Oh, hallelujah. I've got to already start applying this. Aren't you glad we have a God who is moved with compassion? The king was moved with compassion. Amen. This man gets forgiven the debt. It's not anything the man had done. It wasn't who the man was. It wasn't what the man could do for the king. The only reason this man gets forgiven is because the king was moved with compassion. Listen, you and I were forgiven one day. It wasn't who we are. It wasn't our name. It wasn't what we could do for him. We were forgiven because our God was moved with compassion. Are you glad he was? You see, the whole point of that is the reason we are forgiven is in the forgiver and not in us. Hallelujah. What else did the king do? The king loosed him. He was already in bonds. He was already on the way to the slave auction block. Amen. He was bound, headed for prison and slavery, and the king loosed him. I want to tell you, forgiveness is loosing. When you got saved and God forgave you, he set you free. Then what did the king do? The king took the loss. The Bible said he forgave him the debt. Now you see, we missed this. If the king forgave the debt, the king took the loss of the debt. You know, we look at forgiveness as being free, but I want you to know, yes, God has freely forgiven us, but he took the loss of our debt. How many knows what the loss of our debt was with God? It was his son hanging on a cross. Oh, Sister Brock, aren't you glad he was moved with compassion and loosed us, and he took the loss on his own self. Verse 28. Now, this is switching of acts here in the story. That same servant, newly forgiven, newly set free, even the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Amen. Nathan, you're not afraid of me, are you? You come stand right here. The same servant, the same individual. And found a man that owed him 100 pence. Now, how much did this man owe? $20 million. And in rough equivalency, he went and found the one that owed him $20. What's this man? Newly forgiven, newly set free. Moments before, headed to be a slave and his family with him. He goes out forgiven $20 million. He goes out and finds a guy that owed him $20. Let's say you're doing something over here. You don't even know I'm coming. And he grabs hold of him and grabs him by the neck. Are you all right?
Yeah.
I don't want to leave marks. Grabs him by the neck. Why did he do that? Citizen's arrest. It was a provision of the time. You went out and got the one that owed you money. You got him. You know, you could hire someone to do it for you, but you got him, and you drug him to the judge. This guy owes me. Make him pay. You all right still?
Yep.
Okay. Now, let's get something straight. He hadn't been paying this man his $20. You're in the wrong. I don't care if it's 20 cents. I know Brother Rose will agree with me. These men will. If it's 20 cents, if you owe somebody, you're in the wrong. 2 cents. Except the government. No. We won't go there. He was wrong. This man was wrong. You see, Jesus isn't saying forgive because you haven't really been done wrong. He's not saying forgive because you've not really been hurt. The point of the matter is this man had done wrong. Thank you. In other words, the first man had every cause to be upset except for one thing. He had the basis for being upset with the second man, except for one thing. He himself had just been forgiven of so much more. Oh, hallelujah. He who had been forgiven $20 million would not forgive the $20 owed him. When one is unforgiving, he immediately becomes destructive to others. When this man chose to be unforgiving, he immediately began to be destructive to others. You've got an unforgiving spirit in your heart. You'll be destructive not only to yourself, you'll be destructive to family members, to friends. At some point, you'll ill-treat them because you've got an unforgiving spirit. Oh, I'm telling you, that man should have said, I've just been forgiven $20 million. Oh, I'll be glad. I'll be excited to forgive this one right here, just the $20. I'm telling you, whatever you forgive anybody is minuscule compared to what God has forgiven you and I. You say you don't know how bad they've hurt me. Oh, maybe not. But we were really bad off with God. He forgave it all. Then in verse 29, and his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee. Does that sound familiar? How many, when I read that sounds familiar? Have patience with me, and I will pay thee. Where have we heard that before? Brother Steve, it was the same plea the first man had made to the king. And now the one that he's got by the throat makes the same plea to him. I'm telling you, when people plead with us for forgiveness, we ought to remember the one time we pled with God to forgive us. Amen. We ask the Lord to forgive us. His plea is identical. Have you ever noticed that often we're far less patient with people than we desire God to be with us? Have you ever noticed that? Both of them said, have patience with me. But the one that received the patience from the king, he showed no patience to the second man. And that seems to be the case if we don't catch ourselves. We have more patience and mercy, or we have less patience and mercy for other people than we desire God to give us. Amen. You see, the second chance had been given to the first man, but he was not going to give that second chance to his fellow man. That causes me to pause here and ask these questions. What if God was as impatient with us as we are with others? Have you ever thought that? What if God was as impatient with me as I am with others? What if God gave us as few chances as we give others? Well, they've done it to me once. I ain't gonna forgive them this time. They've already done that before. But the plea was, have patience with me. Amen. What if God put up with in us as little as we put up with in others? That was the question. Look at verse 30. But this first servant, he would not forgive the one that owed him $20. And he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. You've read Dickinson, though it was much later. Charles Dickens, I mean. You've read Charles Dickens. You know about this. They used to put people in prison until their debts were paid. They'd even torment them. The idea was one or two things. They really had the money. They hid it. If they would torment them long enough, they'd come forth and tell them where they hid the money. Or the second thing was, they said, if we leave him in prison, their family will come up with the money somehow. So he was going to put him in prison until the money was come up with. Amen. He wanted to cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. When you read this, you have to contrast what this man did to his fellow servant. Contrast that with how the king dealt with the first. And I'm telling you, that is the truth of the matter. I believe forever in God's eyes, how we treat our brothers and sisters is always contrasted with how God has treated us. How many knows he's treated us well? He's forgiven all of our iniquities. Hallelujah. He's not dealt with us according to our sin. Look at verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. The bystander, the stander, the observer could see that this was not right. I know you know this. I want to reiterate it. Did you know the world knows more about how church people ought to act than sometimes church people seem to know? And if anyone knows anything about this gospel thing, when they see a Christian not forgiving another Christian, that puts a big question mark in their mind. It consternates them. They're saying, you go around talking about how God's forgiven you. You go around talking about how God's been merciful to you. How come you're not forgiving your brother? And so the fellow servants saw this inconsistency, and they went to the king and told the king about it. Verse 32. Then his Lord, after he had called that first servant, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. We learned some things here. Number one, it is wicked not to forgive. When this first servant did forgive the second servant, the king said, you're wicked. It is wicked not to forgive. It's forgetful not to forgive. There's only one reason the first servant didn't forgive the second. He was too soon to forget what he had been forgiven. I don't know how you feel, but I don't want to ever forget that God has forgiven me. It's on the front of the communion table in remembrance of thee, in remembrance of all that God has forgiven us. And then verse 33, shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Another thing we learn, it's heartless not to forgive. It's heartless not to forgive. The king said, you should have had compassion. You should have had pity. It's bondage not to forgive. Look what it says in verse 34, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. Because he did not forgive, he ended up in prison. It is bondage not to forgive. Hear me across the building. I don't want us to get lost in the details. It's still true today. When you and I do not forgive, we immediately become in bondage in our hearts, in our minds, and our emotions. We're in bondage to the very one that has offended us. We are in bondage to our bitterness. This man was cast into prison, but there is an emotional prison, a mental prison, a spiritual prison that when folks do not forgive, they become in bondage. But not only did he deliver him up to the prison, but he delivered him up to the tormentors. I want to tell you this morning, this is true of all human nature. It is torment not to forgive. Amen. When I don't forgive my brother, that may bother him a little bit if he halfway cares. But the real person, it hurts.
hurts for me not to forgive him. The real person that it hurts is me. And I'll tell you something. If you refuse to forgive, you will live with torment in your mind and your heart. It'll spoil every occasion. It'll be a caveat to every pleasure. Amen. It is torment not to forgive. What was Jesus driving at? Verse 35 brings it together. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every man his brother their trespasses. You say, well, maybe we shouldn't talk to church folks about this. Well, this is who Jesus was talking about, brothers. The main point Jesus has already declared on that Sermon on the Mount when he taught his people how to pray. And a part of that prayer was, forgive us our debts. Say it with me. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jesus says our own future and current, of course, current forgiveness is dependent upon our forgiving others. We got saved. That was wonderful. That was the grace of God. But once we are saved, our forgiveness is contingent on being forgiving of others. And Jesus couldn't say it any more clear, Brother Brock. He said, if you've done me wrong and I don't forgive you, that my heavenly Father won't forgive me. How many knows that's pretty strange? How many knows that won't raise a lot of money if it's preached on television? But is it what Jesus said? It's what he said. He said, forgive from the hearts. In other words, it's not just, you've all had children, you experience this. You go tell your brother and sister you're sorry.
I'm sorry.
No more sorry. They said the words are no more sorry than anything. How many knows what I'm talking about? Of course, we adults don't do that. I'm sorry if I've done anything to offend you. From the heart. Not an exercise of words, not some social ritual, but from the heart you forgive them. That doesn't mean you feel like forgiving, amen, or you only forgive, you know, just because you feel all this warm feeling, but it means with everything within you, you intend on following God's ways. You intend on forgiving them, and though you've got all these other feelings, you choose to sincerely forgive that person, knowing that God has forgiven you. Amen. A few more questions. What if God did not forgive, as we often refuse to forgive? Why does God forgive? It tells us in the story, not because we deserve it, but because he's moved with compassion. Should we not forgive as God has forgiven us? And do we not recognize the consequences of not forgiving our brother? I want to tell us what Jesus said is we ought to always forgive as we desire forgiveness. When we come before God, say, oh God, forgive me. I'm not asking for a confession, but how many even this week had to go before the throne and say, oh God, forgive me. Okay, you two brothers, we three, we're the sinners here. We missed out when they were checking out halos. Hallelujah. Let's summarize what Jesus is driving at. First of all, forgiveness is not excusing wrong behavior. Not once did Jesus ever say it's okay to owe your brother money and not pay it. And I want to tell you, forgiveness is not excusing. You know, someone's done you wrong, and sometimes folks are like, well, it's okay. Well, if it's wrong, it isn't okay. They need to get it right. So forgiveness is not excusing wrong behavior. But by the way, only the bad can be forgiven. If they're good, they don't need forgiven. Right? Forgiveness isn't forgetting in the sense of erasing from memory. You know, some people get things all wrong. They say, well, just forget, just get it out of your mind. If it ever comes up in your mind again, you've not forgiven. That's not true. Forgiving isn't just erasing. Oh, they say, oh, we got you there. The Bible says God forgets our sins. The psalmist says, thou rememberest not our iniquities against us. God just erases it from his mind. I don't think that's true. That's not what the problem. Notice what the word says of the scripture. Remember not against us. It's not that it's not in his mind, but he never brings it against us.
Brother Steve owes me $100. Think about it, maybe you do. But he owes me $100. He comes back to pay me, and it's been a long time. But I look at him, I say, just forget it. I don't think I'm saying that they'll ever be erased from our minds. But what I'm saying is, forget it. I'm not holding that. I'm not requiring you to pay that of me. I'm not expecting anything of you from it. Let's just forget it. I'm not holding it against you. Forgiveness is not erasing from the mind. It's refusing to hold that thing against that person. Bring it up again. Make it an issue again. Let it come into your heart when you reach out to them. We're going to see in a moment, it's letting go of the thing. Amen. Forgiveness isn't just deleting the offender from your life. You know, some people say, here's the way you forgive them. You just don't have nothing to do with them anymore. I forgive them, I just don't talk to them. When I see them coming, get out of there in a hurry. You know, some people look at forgiveness just deleting them out of your life. Forgiveness, let's talk about what it is. Forgiveness is dealing with sin. It's dealing with the bad. It's dealing with the hurtful. Amen. The thing that you're forgiving does hurt. It is wrong. But what you do, you say, I have been done wrong. I have been hurt. But there was a time I did wrong and God forgave me. And so in the same likeness, I'm going to forgive the wrong that they've done me. Forgiveness is a choice. That man, that king, first of all, he chose to forgive. He was under no obligation to forgive, but he forgave. And the second man made a choice not to forgive. Amen. I'm telling you, forgiveness is a choice. We can choose to forgive. It may be one of the hardest things you've ever done. How many knows there's some people hard to forgive? Yeah, I mean, you look in the mirror every morning. There's some folks hard to forgive. I wasn't just funny. One of the hardest people to forgive is yourself. But I'm telling you, here's the wonderful thing about this. God has never required anything that if we choose to do it, that he won't give us the grace and the power and the ability to do it. Isn't that the kind of God we serve? Forgiveness is letting go. I could spend some time here, but I won't. I'll just have you take my word for it. In the original, the very word forgive means to send forth. Kind of like they did that scapegoat. Send it forth. Let it alone. Let it go. Let it go. That's what you do when you forgive. You just let it go. You let it alone. How many's had a kid with an injury this is before lunch. I'm sorry. It scabs over. And that thing won't heal because they keep picking the scab off. Boy, now I got 10 more minutes to preach. No one wants to go to lunch. Did you know some things would heal if we just let them alone? Forgiveness is to let alone, to let it go. That's what forgiveness is required of God. That's what Jesus is driving at. Unless you forgive God, last of all, forgiveness is a prerequisite of our being forgiven. That's what Jesus is driving at. Oh, you must forgive. Number one, you've been forgiven, but if you don't forgive, God will cease to forgive. So let's bring it together. What should we do? C.S. Lewis said one time, forgiveness is a beautiful word until you have something to forgive. Let me talk to the believer. You know, I these statements, if they seem really honest, that's because I've had to be honest with myself. But, you know, I think many times our reluctance to forgive is based on the assumption that when it really comes down to it, we're better than they are. We didn't deserve such treatment. We deserve to be forgiven, but they don't. It's okay for God to forgive me because I deserve it, but oh God, help us never to have that attitude. I mean, but sometimes we just can't let go. We've nursed the wrong for so long. It's become a child in our life that we can't get loose from. Amen. I know I could say, well, he hurt my feelings, but I got to stop and say, I've hurt God's feelings. I could say, well, you know, he has really, really said something about me. He should not say, well, I've said things about God I shouldn't have said. So what should we do as believers? You know, I forgot it was one of the big name preachers, but one of the important political men of the day said to him, to the preacher, I'll tell you one thing, when someone ever does me wrong, I never forgive. And the preacher looked at him and said, then, sir,
I hope you never do wrong. Because he won't be forgiven. So what should we do as believers? Number one, we have no grounds. You and I have no grounds not to forgive anybody. No basis. Number two, you and I, your and my relationship with God is in jeopardy if you and I do not forgive. Number three, to the believer, you and I are hurting ourselves and all those that are associated with us when we choose not to forgive. Number, wherever I'm at, amen. You and I, by the work of grace, we can be moved by the same compassion for our brother that God was moved by for us. How many believes that? God can give us the same compassion for those that have hurt us. What would I say to the unbeliever? Just like this servant was brought in and gave an account to the king. If you're here this morning, I don't say this gruffly. I say this with desire to see you born again, a person of the kingdom. But you, if you're an unbeliever, as all of us, will give an account to the king. You know, God corrected me in my praying. There's things we like to pray, and I really like to pray, oh God, your creator. Oh, that just does something to me. Your creator. And then I like to pray, oh God, your redeemer. I've been praying that for years. Oh God, your creator. Oh God, your redeemer. And as I was praying, I was checked yesterday. God said, I'm something else too. I'm creator and I'm redeemer, but I'm also judge. Amen. And the truth of the matter is, everyone will give an account, will stand before the king to give an account. Even if you're an unbeliever, that will happen. And as an unbeliever, second of all, you, like all, you need forgiveness. You're in the debt of sin. There's a debt you cannot pay. You need forgiveness. And then number three, you will suffer imprisonment and loss and ruin in your life if you do not receive forgiveness from the king. Even you'll be in torment. You'll be in prison. But I'd also like to say to you that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. He is, as the psalmist said, he is ready to forgive. Hallelujah. Oh, no, don't you like that? He is ready to forgive. Then before we close, I'd like to say to the church, I understand something and I practice and preach it, that leadership is earned. Positions in the church, positions in ministry, they are earned. But let's not forget, forgiveness is free. We may not take someone that is really messed up, have them speaking next Wednesday night, or singing a solo on Sunday right off the bat. Because leadership and things of that nature, they are earned. We earn the trust of people. But forgiveness is free. And while we may not be in certain people immediately everywhere and saying, oh yes, you're going to do this and you're going to do that, when they come in, whatever they've done, we ought to be as quick to forgive them as we tell them God will forgive them. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. And last of all, to the church, as a church, we need to have patience with folks. I'm telling you, I'm not being cruel, but people in our time are messed up beyond belief. There are some folks get saved this morning, there's going to be a difference. There'll be a different attitude, different perspective, different desire. There'll be a difference. But they've been messed up so long. We need to have patience and let God work on them just like we needed patience for God to work on us. Would you come, music? It isn't, listen, I want to bring it all together, this statement. It isn't that we have to forgive. It's knowing that we are forgiven, we are free to forgive. Think about that. Think about that. Brother Dan, we don't have to forgive our brother. It's because we've been forgiven. We've been set free that we can forgive. Let me ask you something. Had too many questions today, haven't I? Let me ask you a question. I'm putting me in there too. But if you have nothing to forgive, why is it when the subject forgiveness comes up, a certain name always crosses your mind?
If you have nothing to forgive, why is it whenever you hear a sermon on it, there's a certain face that starts floating? If we have nothing to forgive, why is it that when the topic forgiveness comes up, something else starts coming up in our hearts, that awful taste of bitterness? You know, recently, this isn't a sad story, it's just an illustration, but recently, to show you that preachers have to struggle with what they preach, I had people take me for several thousand dollars. You know, if you let something like that, it'll eat on you. How many knows what I'm talking about? It'll eat on you. And I had to come to the conclusion that I just had to let that thing go. They haven't asked for forgiveness. They haven't made it right. But I can't control their behavior. But being born again, letting God work in my life, I can choose my behavior. And I'm going to let that go. I hope they don't get the tape. They might not even... No, that was a joke. How many knows we can let go? We can let go. Hallelujah. You've read his books, Robert Louis Stevenson, Robin Crusoe, those books that he wrote. He lived in the South Pacific, and he with his family would have morning devotions every morning. He'd read from the Bible. One morning he was reading the Lord's Prayer. Got almost to the part, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Almost to the part, and forgive us our debts as we forget. And he just stopped reading, left his family right there. Said, I'll be back. Just got up and walked out of the room, went back in the bedroom, began to pray. He came back and he said, I had to stop right there because there was somebody I wasn't forgiving. I couldn't go on with the prayer until I got it right. Hallelujah. Would you stand across the building? Father, help us to be people of the kingdom. Lord, we don't have to forgive. We've been freed to forgive. Thank you for forgiving us. Lord, move in our hearts. I don't know what you want to do, Lord, with this message. Lord, I want someone to believe if they're here and they don't know you, God, that you'll forgive them. You'll save them. You'll change their life. I want someone, Lord, by your Spirit to believe that they can forgive if they'd only accept the wonderful gift of your forgiveness in their lives. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many here would lift your hand to say, I'm so glad the Lord has forgiven me. Could you just say that? I'm so glad God's forgiven me. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just praise him a minute. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, you forgive me. Oh, hallelujah. I want to encourage you. I'm going to open these altars in just a moment. You may be an unbeliever. I want you to believe God will forgive you this morning. But you're here as a believer. I want to believe that these are not these messages from the parables are not, you know, just an exercise, but that God is speaking and God is moving. And you're here this morning. There's someone you've not forgiven. Wouldn't it be wonderful you just let God move in your heart and you choose this morning and say, I forgive him right here, right now. It's over with. I let it go. Amen. Don't you think that would set you free? Hallelujah. I'm opening these altars for the church. Whatever your need is, amen. You may have to stop your prayer like Robert Louis Stevenson did and go to someone I don't know. But let's come and pray and say, thank you, King, that you were moved with compassion and you forgave me and you have set me free. I'm no longer under the torment. I've been set free. I've been delivered. Hallelujah. Let's praise him this morning. Amen. You can forgive because you have been forgiven. You can forgive because you've been forgiven. Thank you.